Glory to God. Well, we've been in a series called Not of This World. I believe we're on part 8 or so right now. Go ahead and turn over to John 15, verse 18, and we'll start there. These two scriptures have been our text that we started with. John 15, verse 18. Thank God. Everybody there? John 15, 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. He said, we're not of the world. And then notice what he said in verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Some people get frustrated because they're dealing with somebody they know. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody they're witnessing to. And they get frustrated because it's like, well, they won't do the word. They won't do what I'm talking to them about. Well, if they're not listening to God, why would they listen to you? They have a much bigger problem. You're trying to get over truth, but the fact is they're rebelling against God. So they won't listen to him. They're not doing the will. Maybe some people knew the truth and they know that, but they've slid away from it. They've refused to go forward with what God told them to do. And if they're not going to listen to the Almighty and not esteem what he's telling them, it's not a big deal that they don't listen to you. They're already rejecting much higher authority. So don't worry about that. Don't get on people's case, because usually that doesn't help. Just be a vessel, and be a vessel that God can flow through, but be sure it's God. Sometimes we try to do stuff in the flesh, we really want to help somebody. But it doesn't matter, you know, somebody said it like this, it doesn't matter what they need, it doesn't matter what you know, it's only what they'll receive. I'm going to say that one more time. It doesn't matter what they need. It doesn't matter what you know. It only matters what they will receive. So in other words, they may need a whole lot of stuff. You can see it, just see it so plainly. And isn't it interesting how we can see what other people need so easy, but sometimes it's harder to see in our own lives. But you can see just so clear as day what they need. Okay, fine. But that's not enough. It may be that you know exactly what they need, and you know exactly how to help them. Not enough. It is only what they'll receive that's going to make a difference. In other words, they could have a need this big, and you could have knowledge that could help them even wider. But if they'll only receive this much, that's all that they're going to act on. So the rest of it is immaterial. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter that you know you could help them over here and they need to be helped over there. If they won't receive it from you, it can't help them. They won't act on it. It'll just go in one ear, out the other. It goes in and they reject it. Therefore, it doesn't matter. On the other hand, and maybe there are people that won't receive certain things from you. It doesn't matter that you know what they need. It doesn't matter that you know how to help them. They don't care. If it comes from you, it's just like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. They don't want to hear it. And they're not going to hear it. On the other hand, so they won't receive it, in other words. On the other hand, God knows. He knows how to get through to people. This is where you can pray for people. pray that God would send the right people. If they won't listen to you, then this is where you pray for them, because that gives God legal access to get to them. Pray in tongues for them. If you don't know what they exactly how to, I don't know how to reach this person, just spend time yielding to God. You know what you're doing when you're doing that. Somebody said it like this: if you don't know what to do, you know what to do. And that is, if you're a spirit-filled believer, you need to, you can pray. If you don't know what to do in a situation, you can pray in tongues about a situation. What are you doing when you're doing? The Bible says we're speaking out mysteries. So you may not know, but how many of you know? God knows. And if He knows, you know what you're doing when you yield to Him in speaking in other tongues? You're yielding to the Spirit of God on the inside of you to speak out in this realm. See, this is important. People don't get this. They're like, if God knows, why doesn't he just do it? It's the same reason not everybody's saved. It's legality. He can't just go and get everybody. He can't make everybody bow their knee. If He could, He'd do it, and we'll get out of here and go to heaven. I'd like that much better, wouldn't you? He can't. Not if He's going to be just. Satan can come to Him and say, no, I own them. We've been talking about this. No, legally, God does not have the right to the world, to the people, because Adam sold out and bowed his knee to Satan. So people are under the influence of Satan. God can't come in here and just say, no, forget it. I don't care what happened. They're mine. They can't do that. It's illegal. God, how many of you know God obeys the law? If He set it up and spoke it with His word, He can't go back on it. If He does that, the whole universe is going to blow up. So He can't do that. So what does He need? He needs men. This is why it took so long for Jesus to be born. He needed men to agree with Him and speak it out so it could happen here. Why didn't it just happen after Adam fell? No, it couldn't. It couldn't happen. It had to be spoken out in this realm. Well, what are you doing when you're yielding to Him, speaking in other tongues? You are speaking out mysteries. He knows what needs to be prayed out in this realm. Your head doesn't, but if you'll yield to Him, the right things are, you're yielding, you don't may not understand what you're saying, you don't understand what needs to be prayed, but He does, and you yield your tongue in this realm to Him. Now you're speaking out things that give God a legal right to move. He prays out what needs to happen in this realm. And then, especially with other people involved, you pray things out for them. Now God can get in there and legally do something for them. So if you don't know and you can't get through, you can pray that laborers would go across their path, that people that understand how to reach them, that God could use to reach them, pray for them to be across with these people that you're praying for's path. And you can pray in tongues and say, Lord, I'm praying. I'm yielding myself to You. I'm praying for so-and-so. I'm yielding myself to pray for them that whatever needs to be prayed for, You know better than I do. Because you can exhaust everything you know how to pray for somebody in English. And the bottom line is, now if they're a Christian, then you can pray the Ephesians prayers for them. Because if they're a Christian, the biggest need they have is to understand what has already been done for all of us. Our problems, any of our problems that we have, are the fact that we don't fully understand what Jesus has already done. The more we fully understand what Jesus has done, the more we walk in it. So if you'll pray the Ephesians prayers, you know, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, if you don't know what I'm talking about, catch me after the service, you know, 1, 17 through the end of the chapter, and 3, 15 or so, you pray those things out for people. And then there's other ones, the Colossians, same things. Colossians 1, 9 through 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. Pray those things out for people. And you see, you'll watch things change. If they're Christians. Now, if they're not Christians, it's different, because they don't have a legal right. They don't have Jesus on the side of them. You need laborers to go across their path. You need that blindness to drop from their eyes so that they can see. But notice, we're saying here, verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So we started saying, people are rejecting God's word. Well, we got to be careful in our life that we're not rejecting His word, and maybe that's what we're getting into. But John 17:9, just go down a little bit. John 17, verse 9, I pray for them, I do not pray for the world, but those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. So Jesus is leaving, and he's saying, I'm not going to be in the world. I'm no longer in the world, but they are. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart. Whenever you see sanctify, think in your head, you know, set apart. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. What's truth? The word is truth. Now let's, I leave some of these scriptures on here so that, you know, if people need to go back and look at them, you know, you got somewhat of a trail here, but the real thing is, or the real need is for you to go back and listen to the messages before if you haven't heard them, because we spent a lot of time and we're building, each one is building. We go a little bit further, and so on the truths that we've already established. So we can't go back and preach all that, but this allows us just to kind of fly over a few things so that those that haven't heard, at least you have a little bit of a skeleton here so that you can have some context. But real quick then, Philippians 3:20 says, "For just look on your sheet, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is where? In heaven. So we're here, but we're actually citizens of heaven. 1 Peter 1:17 says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout your time of your stay here in fear." The New Living Translation makes it a little bit more clear to us. You must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. So we're only passing through. We're only here for a little bit. We're not of the world because we've been born again, and we're not of this realm. We're citizens of heaven. Galatians 1:3 says, "Grace to you and peace from the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age." So Jesus gave Himself that we would be delivered from this age. 1 John 5:19, going really fast here because we've gone over these, so like I said, go back and listen to the previous messages if this is new to you. Verse 19, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." This whole world lies under the sway of the enemy, the devil. Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." So Jesus came that He would deliver us from this present evil age. This whole world is under the sway of the devil, of the evil one. But Jesus came, verse 13 of Colossians 1, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." So we're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. This world that is around us is under the sway of the evil one. Jesus came to deliver us from this world by His blood. He came, and when we believed on Him, we were transferred out of the power of darkness into the power of light. So we are here in this world that's fallen, but we're not of it, and we've been delivered out of it, but we got to deal with it. So we talked about the last couple times. Look at your sheet, John 8:31. These last two messages, we spent some time here. John 8:31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" So you can ask the question, I'm in this world, and okay, so I I know that Jesus has delivered me out of the power of darkness, but I'm still experiencing darkness in my life. It can come in all kinds of forms: sickness, relational things, financial things, mental distress, things like that. So I'm experiencing this. Why? Well, here's the answer. We're in this world, we're dealing with a fallen world, okay? The world's not perfect. The world is not the way God created it. It's different. So this world is not the same that has always been. That's where people make a mistake. They just try to extrapolate back and say, well, we're going to go with what we see now and extrapolate back. That's a mistake because it's not the same. It's changed. There's major things that have happened on the earth that have changed. You can't go with the same assumptions. You got to go with what was. Well, we can't see what was precisely because it's really changed. But we live in a world that's fallen. So yes, there's a lot of destruction. Who's responsible for that? The devil. His name is Satan. He is the adversary. He has caused men to sin. And because of that sin, this world is bearing up under this destruction and sin. The creation was not meant to go through this. And the Bible says it groans for when it's delivered, but it's not now. I mean, sometimes we wish we'd just get out of it. Let's just get out of this world. I don't want to deal with this. Well, that's not going to help. Jesus himself said, we read in John, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. We're here. And it's getting weirder and weirder. I mean, there's just stuff happening in the world. It's just like, oh my gosh, people are just going away from God. Well, this shouldn't be all surprising. I mean, they're just following their father. And we talked about this a lot. If that's a surprising thought to you, go back and listen to the messages. Don't have the time to go through and talk about it. But this idea that everybody is God's children is just not Bible. No, there are people that there's the family of God and then there's the family of Satan. It's just clear as day in the Bible. And like I said, I'm not going to teach on it now. Go back and listen to the messages. We spent lots of time on it. There is a power of darkness, and Satan has lordship over people that have not accepted Jesus. So there is no middle ground. There is no demilitarized zone. There is the kingdom of God. There is the kingdom of darkness. And some people think they're neutral, but the fact is, there is no neutral party. They're deceived. They're tools is what they are. And that's sad because they don't know it. They think they're so smart that they're neutral when in fact, there's no neutral. So you're a pawn. You're used. And sadly, there are Christians that are used. Sadly, people in the kingdom of God are pawns and yield to the enemy. In fact, every person in here has yielded to the enemy, including myself. You can yield to the enemy just as easy as you can yield to the Holy Spirit. You got to be very careful. You can be speaking the word of God at one moment and then start yielding to the enemy. Thoughts that are evil. You're speaking. You're being a conduit for the devil. You're actually hitting somebody with thoughts that are actually coming straight through to destroy that person, and they're coming through your mouth, and they're actually from the enemy. And you're a Christian. You're born again. You're sanctified. But at that point, you're yielding to the devil. Yep. Real easy to do. Yep. Real easy to do. Husbands, wives, you know how easily this can happen. You're going real good, and then a thought pops in, and you just don't filter it at all, and you say it, and boy, now the night just went sour. Shouldn't have said it. No, I shouldn't have said that. Where did that come from? Darn. Well, I'm not saying it's all. You get what I'm saying. Satan wants to destroy Christians, so we shouldn't yield to him. I'm not saying everything that comes out of your mouth that's evil that you're yielding to the devil, because it could just be your flesh. You're just being stupid. There's that too. But there are things that you're just yielding to the wrong thing. That person's dealing with thoughts about something, and they're having certain deal and trying to push off certain fears, and then you come up and say, hey, what about that? And at right that point, they're getting hit with something like a ton of bricks that they've been dealing with, and now another attack just came through you and you're oblivious. We got to be sensitive to what comes out of our mouth with people. But so we are in this world, and we have this fallen world. So we said, so we're dealing with some stuff, and people can ask the question, why? If I'm a citizen of heaven, and I've been redeemed, and Jesus has conveyed me from the power of darkness into his kingdom, why am I dealing with this stuff? And you know what? People get messed up here. They'll start saying, well, it must be God's will. Wrong answer. But this is how people deal. That's how they end up there. They're like, well, I'm a Christian, and why hasn't God done something about this? Well, some people, they end up, and the answer must be his will. Well, you can't determine God's will by what happens or doesn't happen. Some people go that far. Everything that happens, God's will. Well, so you're saying if somebody goes into, you know, a place of business and, you know, commits murder, that was God's will? That's blasphemy. But if you think everything that happens or doesn't happen, if you start going down the path that's God's will, you're on dangerous territory. Well, if something does or does not happen in your life, well, it must be God's will that it's that way. It doesn't make any difference. What happens does not dictate or say what was the will of God. God wants everybody to go to heaven and to be born again. Is that happening? So is it his will to send them to hell? No. The Bible said he doesn't will that anybody should perish. Well, somebody's sick, so it must just be God's will. We don't know why. Use the same logic that you're using on being born again. But Christians lose it here. The same Christians that would say, no, but God would never want to send anybody to hell, and it's your choice, and if you'll just receive Jesus today, you can be born again, stumble when you start saying, because the Bible says that he is the healer. The Bible said in Exodus 15:26, he is the Lord that heals thee. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and they'll pray for him, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Bible clearly says that we read in Corinthians today when we were talking about communion. His body was broken for us. Okay, so if that's his will, but then somebody is sick, well, it must be the will of God that they be sick. No, his will is that they be healed. Yeah, but they're sick. Yeah, and people go to hell, but it's his will for them to go to heaven. What happens does not dictate the will of God. But people, you go down that path, it's just deceived. Right? Do you understand this?
Yes.
What happens in the world or doesn't happen does not determine the will of God. Well, somebody got killed in a car accident. Don't know why God took them so early. Well, you know, if somebody, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but some people being foolish, driving drunk, opening the door for stuff to happen, it's amazing how when certain things are followed, God doesn't take near as many people. When people obey certain laws and don't do certain things, that it's amazing how God doesn't take those people. Because that's because it's not God taking them. Our decisions have a lot to do with what happens on this earth. In fact, how we react to the Word of God and how we react to His voice determines what we experience. Did you hear me? Mm-hmm. See, people want to say, well, I know God's redeemed me, so why doesn't He do something? Well, who said he hasn't done something? But I'm not seeing it. What does that have to do with what his will is? Mm-hmm. You seeing something or not does not determine his will, like we've stated in these other examples. So why? If we're not seeing things and we're still seeing darkness in our lives, the answer is here. Jesus said, John 8:31, then Jesus said to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? What makes you free? The truth. What's the truth? We read in John earlier. The word is truth. The more we understand the word and what he's done, we become free. You have to act on it. In fact, somebody can be a Christian, have been born again, have their needs, that God has that wants them to prosper. He has ways for them to prosper. He wants them healthy. He wants good things with them relationally. But if they don't know the truth, I'll put it this way, in the areas that we don't know and act on the truth, we get the same results, Christian or not, of somebody that doesn't know God or isn't putting those truths into effect. Just because God has paid for something, if we don't act on it, if we don't receive the truth, if we don't let the truth change our mind and our way of thinking and acting, we'll get the results of somebody, just anybody that doesn't know the truth. Just because God has done something, because the fact is He has done something for everybody in Jesus today. Do you understand that the price for everybody's sin has been paid now? Do you understand that it's possible that every person on the face of the earth could bow their knee to Jesus now and we would just be done? But they don't. But Jesus has provided it. But they're not experiencing it. They don't experience the forgiveness of God. They don't experience the peace of God. Is that because God's doing something against them? They're not receiving it. This is the same with the Christian. In a Christian's life. See, it doesn't stop. It's very clear when you talk about people receiving Jesus to be born again or not. Right? Does everybody understand that there are people that are rejecting Jesus right now, even though the price has been paid for their sins? You realize, does everybody understand there will be people that die today that will go to hell? And they rejected Jesus, even though the price was paid that if they would have received Jesus, they could be in glory today. Does everybody understand that? Yes. That's a decision. Then if you take it a step further, do you understand that there are Christians today, born again, even spirit-filled Christians, likely today, if not very soon, in the next few days, probably today, though, if you just ran the numbers, but I don't know. Let's say, you know, in the next little bit, they're born again, spirit-filled Christians, that will die of a disease soon. Yep. But they didn't have to, even though God paid for their sickness. Right. Why? It's the same reason. They either don't know or they're resisting what God has said, mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. Do you understand there are people today that will go without their needs being met, that could die in poverty even though they're born again, child of God? Does that mean God did not want to supply their need?
No.
No. It's the same thing. Don't know, or not acting on it, they're resisting it, one of those things. But it's not God's will that didn't change. God's will did not change. God's will is the same. And it's the same in these general things for every believer. God has a specific path for people to walk on. But His will is His word. And His word is toward all. His grace is toward all. But what we receive of it is determined by how our reaction is to His word. When we hear His word, do we say, that's a book. Doesn't matter. I don't know about that. I don't know about that faith stuff. I don't know about that blab it, grab it. I don't know about healing. That might be of the devil. Speaking in tongues, I don't know. That sounds weird. Okay, look at the reaction. If it's the word and somebody says, I don't believe it, then in that area, even though God's will is one thing, they won't see it come to pass in their life. Why? Because they rejected the word. It's not God's will. God's will is His word. So if He said something in His word and we don't see it, the answer is not God's will is different. The answer is how are we looking and how are we reacting to His will and His word? How do we look at it? How do we understand? What is our thinking? Are you guys following me?
Yes.
It is easy, in one sense. And people, a certain segment of Christianity has gone down this path to take the responsibility for this off our shoulders and to put it back on God and to make it all God. What some people have called a no-fault religion. In other words, whatever happens or doesn't happen, it's not my fault. It's God. This is how people end up with everything that happens is God. That little baby died early. We don't know. It was God's will. That's not true. In fact, that's blasphemy. I don't know why this happened. It's God. Well, that means, fine, that's convenient. Not trying to be rude. Not trying to be mean. It's convenient because it means I don't have to take any responsibility for what does or does not happen in my life. But the fact is, that doesn't get us where we need to be in seeing His will come to pass in our lives. As long as we have that mentality, then I won't see anything that I would need to change, to augment, to react differently. And as long as I keep doing the same things that I've always done, I'm going to get the same results. And if I think it's always God, I'm going to keep pointing the finger and say, God, why don't you change this? Why don't you change this? Why don't you change this? And the fact is, all along, God is saying, my truth, the Word says this. I've already provided this, my son, my daughter. But as long as I say, God, when are you going to do something? Do you see that nothing will change? Is that clear?
Yes.
I'm not trying to be harsh or mean. This is the Word. Some people will say, that's so hard. That's mean. Don't you know I've tried? It's not about trying. I understand people's pain when they say, but I've tried to do this. I've seen and it's not working. And are you saying it's somehow to do with what I'm looking at? And I understand people have been frustrated there. And in people's frustration, this is where different doctrines are born, that they start trying to shift and say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. It's okay because Jesus' blood is more powerful than anything and it can just come in. But it's not about the power of Jesus' blood. It's about how we react to it. If it were about the power of Jesus' blood, every person would be born again now. Every person would be healed independent of them. Is that what's happening? It's not. We have to be honest with ourselves. It's not. If it's about purely His grace and His blood and His power, and what if it's up to God's power, it's limitless. It's not up to God. If it's up to God's power, what happens in our lives, is His power limited other than where He's limited Himself? No. It's not about His power. If we say, well, it's not about His will. His will is clearly shown in His Word. He says His will is that none should perish. His will is that I'm the Lord your healer. If God is your physician and healer, what thing can't He fix? So what's His will? If God, we just read it this morning, if He will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly, if it's His will to prosper us. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper in be in health. Listen to the end of that. As your soul prospers. See, this people throw this out. No, if it's just God and it's His will, then independent of anybody's what they do or do not, we would all have the same thing. Because He doesn't play favorites. Does He? So then there must be something in our reaction to Him that determines what we see. Can you see this? Starting with people that hear the gospel and reject it and say, I don't believe in Jesus. What just happened? Did God will them to hell? No. God reached out His hand and they said, I don't want it. So who sent them to hell? They did. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, but anybody that is deceived by him and listens to him will suffer the same fate as the enemy. God didn't send them. God gave Jesus. Now, you take a step forward. I've received Jesus. He's my Lord. Let's say he's my Savior. He can be people's Savior without being their Lord. Did you know that? Did you know that? You can be saved, but Lord, what is the Lord means? You, he determines what you do. In other words, you don't do what you want to do. You do what he tells you to do. What he wants you to do. But what if I don't really feel like that? Okay, who's your Lord? Who's your Lord if I say, no, say I'm born again, I'm a child of God, but if I say, if God's telling me to do one thing, and I say I'm going to do else, the answer could be any number of things. But it's not Jesus. If I put anything determining what I do or not do, and it's not him, that's called an idol. See, we don't want to talk about it. We think of idol, well, that's just Old Testament. Some, you know, they make a block of wood and they put, no. No, bring it into the, 2016. Anything, if God's telling you to do one thing and you decide I'm going to do something else, we could name any number of activities, any number of relationships, any number of fears. I don't know if this will happen. I don't know if I'll be taken care of. I don't know, I don't want to lose out on friends. Any number of questions or any number of things saying I'm not going to do what God told me to do will keep me from experiencing what he wants me to. That's called lordship. What is determining what I'm doing? But if Jesus is Lord and Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the Word, then what is determining what I do? His Word and His Spirit, period. Yeah, but I don't understand how we could ever do such and such. Yeah, but the Lord's telling me to do it, therefore we're going to do it. Well, I don't know how I could afford to do that. Yeah, but God's telling me to do it. He said in His Word to do that. He told me by His Spirit, this is the direction. Okay, what's my Lord? We talked about this in our series, Seek first the kingdom of God. What's going to determine what I do? I don't know if I could afford it. Oh, but God said, well, which one wins? It's easy to say. It's easy to say. But what wins? Okay, but then I just, and then, see, this is where we deceive ourselves. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying this as kindly and as spirit of love as I can, because I understand where we're treading here, because people, I understand people have been very sincere in following God, but people have fallen into methods and fallen into ways of trying to work the Word in a systematic way and not in a godly way, not first making Jesus their Lord and saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do here. How many of you know in any situation he has a way out? He knows. The first thing is going to him and say, God, you show me. I've had this teaching on faith. I've had this teaching on healing. But you know what I need right now. Lord, I bow my knee to you. Whatever you want me to do, I am at your service. People don't do this as much anymore. To humble themselves before Almighty God and say, God, I've made a mess of things. I don't know, but I know your word says this and it says this, but God, I need you to put it together for me. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. You show me out and I'll be there. I am your servant. I am your child. Lord, I worship you and bow the knee. I can't tell you how many times there have been times as I'm not saying this about myself for any reason other than I know there have been many services, like when I was in Lincoln, when there was a minister ministering on something, and I realized God was bringing me up in an area. And just to be in the front, bowing my knee, literally saying, God, I let what you want, your will be done in my life. There was a presence of God there, and I knew what God was saying. My flesh didn't want to do it. But if we want to go on with him, so many people play lip service to him. I remember Keith Moore was talking about it this way. If you're not familiar with Keith Moore, he he was he was over healing school at Rhema for years. I went to Rhema, probably like, you know, late 70s, early 80s, somewhere in there, became over healing school, and then he traveled with Brother Hagin and would just teach for him, and he taught in the Bible schools, and now he pastors a church in Branson, Missouri, and Sarasota, and, you know, been on with the Copelands and different things, and he tells how he was, you know, you see, you're dealing with people that have life-threatening situations daily. They had one session in the morning where it was just the people that were sick and just their families, nobody else. And then they had a general meeting in the afternoon where, and this is the way, you know, last I knew, I haven't seen that, but that's the way they've done it for years. In the afternoon then, you would have a general meetings where anybody could attend. But in the morning time, you may have just had a few people, and they're teaching on healing. People that are, they've come because they need a miracle. They need to believe God because things are seriously wrong in their body. And they're coming to be in healing school because they've gone to the doctors. They come wheeled in with breathing apparatus, in a wheelchair, whatever. Not everybody, but you know, there's a lot of cases like that. Yeah. And he said there was this one couple, or one some people, I can't remember, I think there was parents, maybe a child or something, older child, whatever. I don't remember the specifics there, but I remember him telling this that these people came in and he was trying to get, they were very wealthy. And they had come, they had heard some things indirectly and had come to hear the word. But he got the sense when he was talking to him about putting certain things into practice, he was just getting a sense. They were like, no, we have to go do such and such and go do this. We have to take care of this activity and take care of this. No, we can be here. Can you just lay hands on the person? And they want to have it. And he said, I got the sense that they were out living their life and then they had this situation and they wanted to get just close enough to God to get what they needed to get their healing, and then they were going to go back on with their life. And that's the way so many Christians are. I've heard that God heals. I've heard that he prospers. Now, how can I get that into my life? But Lord, they wouldn't say, God, whatever you want for me, I yield myself to you. What? Show me what to do. Show me your way out of this. What do I need to change? Lord, whatever. And then people, things happen. And people say they're believing God. And again, I'm saying this as kindly as I can. I'm not trying to push because I understand where people are. But people become frustrated and they're tempted to go down into this place where it's not anything that I could do or have done because I've done everything I know and I can't see it. Therefore, it must be something else. God always has an answer. God always has a way. His word and his spirit, we have a way out every time. The problem is here. I'm pointing to my head for the recording. It's right between our ears. He always has a way out. Do we believe that God has a way out of any situation now? What is his will for us to be blessed in every way? It is. But what we experience in this vein has everything to do with our reaction to his word. We read here, Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If he said we're free in any given area, the moment we start taking that as absolute truth, the moment we yield to him and say, Lord, whatever it is in my life, I need to change. Lord, show me, direct, guide me, help me through. I take your word, though. I will not let anything else dictate what is or is not my life beside your word. I agree with it. I agree with what the truth is in the word. I agree with what your spirit's saying. If there's anything I need to tweak, I will adjust it. When we come to God like that, that's how we become free. It's the word that will set us free. It's yielding to him, and not just the yielding, it's acting on what he said to act on. And acting like it's true, regardless if we can see it, regardless if we can feel it, that we let his word dictate our actions, what we say, what we do. There's no way around it. What we're experiencing, if you believe everything that we've talked about up until this point, it has to have something to do with us. Because it's not limited by God's power. It's not limited by his word. It's not limited by his will, I should say. So it's how we react and while we put it into practice in our lives. As we let the word change our understanding, change our actions, line our actions, line our thinking, line our daily activities up more and more with what he said, we see things change. I can tell you from my life where I have put the word into practice, and I know we heard testimonies at our anniversary. When we put the word into practice in any life, in any part of our lives, that's where our lives start to change. Amen? The parts that we're still experiencing, now get this, the parts where we're experiencing something other than what the word promises are the places where we haven't put his word, we haven't let his word change our understanding and change how we act. Do we believe that? Now, if we're honest with ourselves, this is where things change. I didn't say when you heard a sermon about a certain subject that things change. I didn't say because you heard something 25 times and you've heard about it, that stuff starts to change. Because this is where people miss it. I didn't say when I put in practice some formula that I heard somebody else say that was used as an illustration for what they did, and then I try to do that and say if it'll work for them, it'll work for me, and then that's not when it starts changing. That may have been what the Lord directed them to do, but we cannot escape personal responsibility with our Lord with these things that we've been told, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, whether it's relationships. There are principles and truths in the Word, but I cannot substitute what somebody else did and say, I'm going to do that. I can't cut out going to the Lord God and saying, Lord, I see what your Word says. Now show me how to implement it in my life. Show me what the next step is. You tell me. You show me what to do in your Word. I will act on that. People want to cut that out. And it's easy to do. Well, it worked for such and such. They had such a powerful testimony. I'm going to do it like that. But the thing we need to do is go to him and say, Lord, listen, you see what I said? Lord, bowing the knee, saying, Lord, all I have is yours. My life is yours. I see this area. Lord, I'm hurting. I need help. You know the answer. I know I haven't walked everything perfectly. You know how I got here. You know what needs to be changed. I see what your word says, and I am acting. I'm saying that has got to be true. Lord, show me if there's anything I need to change, anything I need to tweak. You show me how I move forward here. Not somebody else, not this person, not that person. I'm going to you. Lord, I don't want to get close enough to you just to get what you have and run away. Lord, I'm yours. What you say, I want your best for my life. I want to do what you would have me to do. I want to walk in everything you have for me. Now, Lord, you show me what to do. I'll do it. I bow the knee to you. God has an answer for every person. It's individual. His will is general, but he will show you. He will show you the next step to take. Too many people are too quick. I'll use healing, for example. They hear that God wants to heal them. They've heard it. They've heard the testimonies. They could quote most of the scriptures, but in their life, they don't know how to implement it. They don't know what to do. They want to jump and say, well, I'm healed and I'm done and I'm just healed. And they go right to that place instead of saying, Lord, where am I? Where is my faith? What can I believe? You show me the step. And sometimes that's humbling, because you want to jump over here and say, no, I'm just going to receive it all now and it's done. But if you do that, you're just acting on what somebody else did. You don't actually believe it at that point. And if you act like somebody else acted, but you don't actually believe it, you're doing it because you're hoping it's going to work like a magic charm, we're only deceiving ourselves. We have to be honest. Do I believe it? Am I assured? Why? Where's the word? What do I believe? What's the scripture I'm standing on? Do I believe that? I'm not talking about head versus heart. I'm saying, where am I with you and with God? What can I believe? And if the answer is I don't believe that yet, then, and it's not just a doubt in your head, your heart, you know that I'm not there. I'd be doing it because somebody else told me. Then back up to where you can get a hold of something that you can believe and take that step. Did you hear me? Because I'd rather have a step that is actually solid, that's going to work, than try to leap and fall flat on my face and try it again and again and again. And this is where some people are. They keep trying to walk in somebody else's faith, and they haven't developed their own. They don't want to take the baby step. They want to run the sprint. We need to let the word dominate where we are now. Let it renew our mind. But guys, that's a process. Let yourself be where you are today with him. We've gone over the truth, the John 8:31, but we read last week and we were getting to Ephesians 4 and 22, and it's talking about renewing your mind. I'm not going to read it right now. But we're talking about this. We have to understand what the word says, but it's got to be real with what we're actually dealing with now. There's no use in fooling ourselves. This is not a religious game. This isn't like faith, you know, we're playing faith things so that I get some marks or some badges if I try to believe something. We want real results, lasting results. We want to walk in it for real. And just like school, you don't learn everything in a day. People feel condemned because they're not doing such and such because they heard somebody preach on it. Forget all that. Take what's good and then go to the Lord and say, God, honestly, I'm hearing this, but where am I now? What's my step now? Maybe your step is, I'm going to believe today that nothing will get any worse. Did you hear me? Well, that's, I throw that out. I just want to jump to where, praise God, I have it. But what if you could just believe that your symptoms won't get any worse today? Everything will just stay the same. Well, that's not good enough. Yeah, but if you can't believe for that, how are you going to believe for it to get better? I'm just going to believe, you know, I only put $100 on the credit card. That's complete failure. Believe for complete out of debt, brother. If you can't believe for the $100, you can't believe that you're going to go 100 over. How are you going to believe to go way over here? Well, that's just not a big enough goal. Who cares? What can you believe for? And go and lock hands with God and say, God, I believe your word. Here's where I am. Maybe you're doing it with tears. God, I believe this. I can believe it. I can act on this. Don't be afraid of going to the doctor. People have got all kinds of, messed up ideas. No, it's going to be without the doctor. Who said, did Jesus tell you that? Did your Lord tell you that? Or is that what your idea of it is? Because that's how a good faith person that really had faith would. Well, I acknowledge that. If it was up to God's power, that would be the ideal. But where are you? What the ideal is, God could heal you just like that if it's up to his power. We're not talking about what he can do. We're talking about what we can believe. Now. Now. If I'm honest and I say, well, God, what should I do now? What can I believe for now? Now we start getting real results. Because I believe something, I act on it, it works. Then I say, well, I can believe for this now. And now we do that, and we get it, and it might take a little bit, but we get it. Don't worry about the time. We get it, and now we move on. If we stay like that and refuse to get up, God can just keep bringing us up till pretty soon we look up and we're out. We're gone. We're past all that stuff. Amen. Are you guys just processing? You're all looking at me like, glory to God. Real. God wants, his word is truth, and when we let it affect us in a real way, let it operate in our lives step by step. We have a lot of junk pressing on us in this world that is fallen. So to get all that out and to start cutting it through and start letting it, God's word, dictate, it's a process. Let it be a process. Bite off a little bite and say, God, I'm going to believe you for this. I'm going to believe you for an extra $5. People say, that's nothing. Hey, but if I can get 5 and I can turn it to 10 and I can turn it to 50, I'm on the right track, buddy. But I can keep taking my stab at 5,000 and just falling and falling and falling and falling and falling and never get there. I'd much rather just take a step and get going. That's how you start changing your mind, little by little. Start renewing your mind little by little to where it's starting to go in a different direction to where you're going over here now. Amen. We've gone long enough. Hallelujah.